Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Today's episode is inspired by Northern California's record-collecting communities, breeding grounds for camaraderie, discovery of long-forgotten songs, and musical inspiration for chart toppers like DJ Shadow. Last year on the podcast Song Exploder, DJ Shadow deconstructed a track from his 1996 debut album, Introducing. Each episode of Song Exploder features a musician discussing the different sonic elements used to create one of their songs. What's special about this interview with DJ Shadow is the sheer amount of sampling he uses in the song discussed, Mutual Slump. Unlike most Song Exploder episodes, almost every beat and note and word you hear in this song was taken from somewhere else, either a song already recorded or intimate recordings from a loved one. It was all borrowed by DJ Shadow to make something totally new. Here's Song Exploder's host, Hrishikesh Hirway.
In 1996, Josh Davis, aka DJ Shadow, released his first album, Introducing. It's been hailed pretty much universally as one of the best albums of the 90s, and Time magazine included it in its top 100 albums of all time. It changed the face of hip-hop and electronic music, and helped define the trip-hop genre. Now, for the 20th anniversary of the release, DJ Shadow breaks down the song Mutual Slump.
This is Josh Davis, aka DJ Shadow. The record store on the cover of Introducing, called Records, in Sacramento, California, that record store was my muse. If I felt like I ever was kind of hitting a creative brick wall, I would get in my car, I would drive to go to that record store once or twice a week for the entire duration that I was working on the album. And just spend a few hours looking at records, listening to records, and generally without really even trying very hard, I would chance upon something that inevitably unlocked whatever jam I was in creatively. And that's where I found the drums, which come from a European prog jazz record. I think the only part of the original sample that I kind of left pretty much unchanged was the noisy intro, the kind of drum fill with the guitar feedback over the top. I don't like to just loop, you know, a one-bar break. The rhythmic basis, the breakbeat, has to be the strong foundation upon which everything else is built. If you chop a breakbeat and there's five or six different kicks you can use, five or six different snares you can use, what I like to do is alternate between the three or four strongest kicks, the three or four strongest snares, until you've reassembled a kind of super version of the original. The secretive component of sampling and crate digging and looking for beats, looking for samples, goes all the way back to the very beginning of hip-hop culture. DJs who discovered breakbeats that made the audience react had a secret weapon, and DJs used to cover up the artist's name and song titles to protect that knowledge. But again, that culture, as much as I contribute to it and aspire to it, can also be a little bit pretentious. So I always felt that you have to balance the kind of secretive beat digger philosophy of sampling by sampling just, you know, something almost intentionally really obvious. The Bjork album had come out maybe 6 months prior to me starting work on this track. She was kind of a big presence in the UK when I was living there in the summer of 95. Your flesh finds me out. I liked the record and I liked the idea of taking what is kind of an obvious sample and putting my own spin on it. One of the things that I liked to play with a lot is taking samples and slowing them way down. For samples that are prone to melancholy anyway, they seem to become even more so when they're slowed way down. At some point it crossed my mind, oh, I wonder what the Bjork sample would sound like over these drums. Realized I would have to pitch it way down, which I was happy to do. And then realized, oh, you know, there's something here. Between the drums and the Bjork sample, I mean, already the song had a certain feel. To me, the song had a foreboding, it had a melancholy, but it also had an anger. During the kind of intense drum break section, there's a little sound, and it just kind of felt like this disoriented, almost kind of a warning sound. And to me, it just fell in line with the energy of the song. I mean, I felt like the song was approaching this kind of almost unhinged place. And that sound inserted in the way that it was between the drums, on one hand, was kind of a slick production moment, like something I was proud of on a producer level, but it also touched the right kind of foreboding that the track was conveying already anyway. I wanted to make instrumental music because to me it seemed like a challenge. I wasn't just making beats that sounded like they needed a vocalist on them. I was trying to make arrangements that worked in an instrumental form and kept your attention and evolved. To me, it was almost like a more difficult task. But I didn't want the album to be devoid of words.
I was scared, I have to admit, at first. Never had a cat before.
The female voice on the track is actually my wife. At the time, we were dating, and her name is Lisa. For this part, you kind of have to use your imagination because I recorded the album at Dan the Automator's studio at his house that he was still living in with his parents at the time. The studio was actually contained within a unincorporated part of the house, so you actually had to climb up a ladder, you had to open a hatch, and then you were in this extremely small space that was really only big enough for a mix board, some outboard gear, and a rolling chair. And you couldn't stand up. You would hit your head on the ceiling. And the person who was recording something, whether it was a rapper or, in this case, my now wife, she was in a pitch black area below where I was. And you had to close the hatch again, and they would have to sort of feel where the microphone was and talk.
5 feet under.
But it actually lent itself really well to her just sort of being in a space in her own mind. And I recorded her for probably about 20 minutes.
Do you feel like Darth Vader? And I'm Princess Leia.
She was raised in Japan until age 8 and then came to America. And she talks about literally seeing the movie Xanadu, which would place it at 1980. And she lived in Southern California, so roller skating was a thing. And she's seen people do it in movies. I didn't give her any kind of direction because I knew that the more I said to her, the more it would be contrived. She just kind of steers herself in all these unusual directions and finds herself saying things that, you know, they're odd. I just wanted to try to capture some of that. And then I just sort of sampled the pieces from her dialogue that I felt somehow made sense in the track.
Then I came to America, saw Xanadu. All I wanted to do, roller skate.
The saxophone that kind of runs through the end section, to me there's a despair and unhinged quality to it. It's kind of a free jazz expression. And with a little bit of needle dropping, it made it even more unhinged. I mean, there's a point where literally I'm picking up the needle and dropping it at random almost. and then the pullback right at the very end before the track rides out. The flute exists in a natural state in the same note structure, but the vibes do not. So I kind of bent the vibes to match the flute. Putting samples in tune with each other was something that I really wanted to achieve in my music. And this is before time stretch technology and pitch bending and stuff like that. It was a factor of luck and a factor of will. I didn't want it to be simple, you know. There's new things happening every 8 bars, every 4 bars, changes and bridges and places where it kind of goes abstract. And then there's time signature changes. And I didn't want it to be intellectual by any means, but I just wanted it to feel different. I wanted other producers to listen to it and be like, how did he do this?
And now here's Mutual Slump by DJ Shadow in its entirety. Visit songexploder.net to learn more about DJ Shadow and the 20th anniversary deluxe edition of Introducing. On the site, you'll find a link to buy the new edition, which includes the original album, alternate takes, and remixes. You can find all the past and future episodes of Song Exploder at songexploder.net or wherever you download podcasts. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary, cutting-edge shows, made possible by the Knight Foundation, MailChimp, and by listeners like you. Learn more at radiotopia.fm. This episode was produced by Christian Kunz and me. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
You're tuned to The Spot here on 91.7 KALW, local public radio. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum. So what does a local collector and stalwart of the Bay Area hip-hop scene have to say about DJ Shadow's album Introducing? Last year, San Francisco-based writer and designer DJ Steph Ornalis shared her memories of the record with the local storytelling project and podcast Phonographic Memory. Each episode features a Bay Area resident presenting a song from a vinyl record and then their personal story about it. This excerpt was recorded live in 2016 during the 20th anniversary celebrations for the main branch building of the San Francisco Public Library. I know what you're thinking. It's a lot of DJ Shadow to include in one episode. But the reason why isn't because I love DJ Shadow. He's all right. It's because I love DJ Steph, and sharing her words is the best way I know how to honor her. Steph passed away due to a heart attack last Sunday, October 1st, at her home in San Francisco. For decades, she's been a keystone in the Bay Area hip-hop scene, founding publisher of the Vinyl Exchange magazine, a connector of record appreciators and underground artists, a prolific DJ, graphic artist, and above all, she was a friend to so many people. Full disclosure, I'm a co-organizer of Phonographic Memory, and Steph was a member of our very, very small team directing the project. And I couldn't pass on the chance to share a piece of Bay Area hip-hop history told by a local legend in the scene.
I'm going to pull out the record I'm going to play for you. So this cover was shot at a record store in Sacramento, and the name of it is Records. It still exists. I think it's moved since then. But before they moved, I actually went here a couple of times on a digging mission. That's what we call digging for records. The title is Introducing, not Introducing, but Introducing, by DJ Shadow. And he's not on the cover, and that kind of related to why his name is DJ Shadow. He's from Davis. Anyone from Davis or go to UC Davis? So he started out at the radio station there, KDVS, and he formed a crew with these two guys and some other like-minded individuals, and they are known as the Soul Sides crew. From KDVS, he made his way to San Francisco, and he got a mix show on KMEL, and he actually just walked into the program director's office and said, you should hire me, and they did. They're like, okay, let's see what you got. And so he really made a name for himself locally and among the hip-hop community. Pretty much everyone had heard of DJ Shadow just from that and from, you know, a couple of productions he did for other artists, and he put out mixtapes. You know, by 94, 95, he was going to be working on, this is his debut album. It was very highly anticipated, especially by me, because at the time I was housemates with this guy, and this is Chief XL. He's in a group called Blackalicious. If you watch major sports, you may have seen an ad for the Bleacher Report where a guy is rapping really fast, the Alphabet. Anyway, he made that beat, and the guy who raps on that, his voice is sampled on this album. And speaking of samples, this album is recognized as being the first of its kind in that it's entirely made of samples of other records. Rolling Stone put it on their 100 best albums of the 90s, and that's all genres, not just hip-hop. And it's also on their 100 best debut albums, as well as Time's all-time 100 albums, which was published in 2010, so that's fairly recent as far as all albums ever. So I mentioned sampling a couple times. Just to oversimplify it, sampling is taking a recording of a record and using it in another track. So that could be anything from just taking the whole instrumental track of a song, or it can be taking part of it and looping it to make a beat, or you know, just taking the drums and using the drums or a certain sound of an instrument, or even just a tiny little snippet of a sound. All of that is sampling, and that's pretty much the range of what's shown in this album and in DJ Shadow's compositions. Can you imagine layering and assembling and scratching and mixing and cutting and pasting all these sounds that he got from other records and creating these songs, complete songs with that? It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. And he's He's, of course, not the first to do it. He, in the liner notes, he does give thanks to the pioneers of hip-hop and DJing who have come before him, but he definitely was the first one to do it in this way. It was kind of contentious at the time when it first came out because there are a lot of ambient sounds. There are a lot of vocal samples. There's just a lot of crazy sounds that most hip-hop hadn't used at that time. But anyway, when I was roommates with Excel and he was telling me, you know, there were times when I thought Shadow would show up at a party or at one of his gigs and he'd say, oh, he's just busy working on this album. So it was clear to me that he was really intently, you know, this was his sole purpose for a couple of years at least. But I asked him several times, like, is he going to come over? And am I going to meet him? Because I really wanted to meet him. And he said, oh, yeah, he'll come by sometime. The reason that Excel moved to San Francisco, because he previously still lived in the Sacramento area, was so that he could be near Dan the Automator's studio. And if you know who DJ Shadow is, you may have heard of Dan the Automator, another amazing producer, DJ. So Excel and Shadow were also using that studio. I never met Shadow. He came over twice. Once I was in the shower and once I was asleep. So I had to wait to go to a show of his again after he had moved out, and that's when I finally met him. Before I play the song, I just want to make sure I didn't leave anything out. I just want to emphasize that this was so widely recognized as a great album. And at the time, because this was a UK label and Mo Wax was known for a certain sound, just to simplify it, trip hop takes its basis from hip hop. So it's hip hop beats with more ambient and strange sounds that I think at this time in 96, maybe hip hop hadn't used those yet. So it was kind of like, this is something we've never heard before. So a lot of hip hop DJs didn't know quite what to think of it. I always thought it was hip hop just because, well, first of all, because DJ Shadow said so, but also because it's hard to put into words. Hip hop is something you feel and hear, and I just felt it. I think I'm ready to play the song, Midnight in a Perfect World. And if you go on YouTube and watch the video, the cover shot, this day of shooting, they also did video, and it's in the video for this song. And so you see all the records, but you also see DJ Shadow walk over here and go down some stairs into a basement filled with stacks and piles of random albums and 45s and many and much, most I'd say, of which were probably used in the production of this album. I'm usually good at needle dropping, but let's see how.
Insight, foresight, more sight. The clock on the wall reads a quarter past midnight. Thank you.
midnight!
Thank you.
That was DJ Steph Ornalis sharing her story about DJ Shadow's album Introducing at a live recording of the podcast Phonographic Memory. You can hear more stories from local record appreciators at phonographicmemory.org, and I've put a link to some of DJ Steph's music mixes on our website. Go to kalw.org and search for The Spot.
DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life, yeah. 'Cause I was sitting there bored to death, and in just one breath he said, you gotta get up, you gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl. You know you drive me crazy, baby. You've got me turning to another man. Called you on the phone, no one's home.
That's all we have for you today on The Spot. You can find this episode and the 80 plus others at kalw.org. Look for The Spot under Programs A to Z. Feel free to share your favorite podcasts and radio stories with me via email at thespot@kalw.org. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Thanks for listening. And tune in next week for another episode of The Spot, only on 91.7 KALW.